Hello, church family. Happy Sabbath. It is a pleasure to be here. I really take this as a high honor to be able to speak to the congregation. So I thank you. I thank God, and I don't take it lightly, just so you guys know. So let's begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. How you created us, has given us, how you have given us life. Now, Lord, I pray that you may speak through me, Father, that you may calm my nerves, that you may just use me in a mighty way, Father. I pray that I may be hidden behind your cross and that you may be lifted up at the end of the day, Lord. And, Lord, I pray for my friends as well. I hope that they pray for themselves, that they may be able to get the most out of this message, that we may be able to get the most out of this message, Lord, because you are speaking to me as well. And Lord, just make it clear. And I pray that it may be practical for us as well. Thank you, Father. May you be lifted up, and we invite your Holy Spirit to be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm recovering from a little sickness, so if I cough or sneeze or do anything like that, that's just what I'm going through. All right. So the title of my sermon is To Be Here But Not Here. You guys might not understand what that means, but in a minute I'll make it clear for you. So there's two pivotal points in my life. The first one is when I joined the United States Army, and the second one is when I gave my life to Jesus and I joined the Lord's Army. Amen. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about those experiences. So when I first joined the military, it was great. I excelled tremendously. However, expectations met reality about two years into the military. And I got to make sure I got to keep my hands right here. This mic is going to be killing me. So about 2 years into the military, expectations met reality, and I worked under somebody that has having a perpetual bad day. You ever meet those people? Amen. So you don't want to meet those people, but you do in the workplace, unfortunately. So I got in trouble for disrespecting an officer, basically. Now, most of you guys don't know me, but that's not something I would do. But however, I got in trouble for that, and they took my time, they took my rank, and they took my money as well. And they left me with a sour taste in my mouth. So after that, I was there, but I was not there. You guys kind of get what I'm saying now? Okay, awesome. I'll give you guys another example. So you ever been talking to someone, or someone's been talking to you, and you kind of space out, and they're like, hello, Earth 2. See, those are brief moments when you're there, but you're not there. Or have you ever fallen asleep during a sermon? Amen. So those are the moments when you're there, but you're not there. But more importantly, I think we all know someone, or we are that someone, that is Christian or Adventist in name, but we don't have a relationship with Jesus. So that's what we're really going to be hitting on today. So I'm going to share with you guys an Army story that can relate with that. So while I was riding out my time in the military, I was doing all types of crazy things. I was a crazy guy. I was drinking, I was smoking, I was partying, doing all types of things. And I had 6 months before I got out of the military, and they decided to send me to Iraq. And so I know you're thinking that, okay, this will get this guy in shape, you know. You can't do all that crazy stuff in Iraq. However, as soon as I got settled in, I got right back into what I was doing. And so God decided to throw a monkey wrench in my operation, and he decided to switch things up, literally. So my job in the military at the time in Iraq was to man the perimeter. I stood in guard towers. It's about maybe almost as high as the roof. And so I would watch to make sure nobody got in, nobody got out. I even had a big machine gun to make sure I did my job properly. And so this day, they decided to switch me guard towers. So while I was being switched, I was actually recovering from one of these long nights of partying. And so I'm going to my new guard tower and I'm thinking, man, God, I really hope that I get somebody that I know, because I can't keep this up for 12 hours. So when I get up there, guess who I see? My homeboy Shuford. So when I see Shuford, I'm so happy to see him. I'm like, what's up, bro? You know, how you doing, man? And so Shuford, the thing about him is Shuford was a good guy. Shuford was a good soldier. He was there the whole time. Praise God for good soldiers. So he was everything that I was supposed to be at that time. Matter of fact, he reminded me a lot of myself, what I could have been as a soldier. So Shuford, we get up there, but as I was saying, that Shuford and I, we were good friends, even though we were on opposite sides of the pole. So I get up there, we're talking and everything. I'm like, bro, I'm telling him about the night before. I'm like, man, dude, I'm not going to survive all 12 hours, man. And Shuford says something very uncharacteristic for him. He says, well, you know, we can go to sleep, right? And I'm thinking, like, what? Now, I was a crazy soldier, but that never even came to my mind. So I was thinking, man, I could use the rest. So I was like, you sure, bro? And he says, nothing ever happens here. We're good. Famous last words, right? And so I take off all my equipment. I'm out in 2 seconds. Laying down. So while I'm laying down, let me stop you right there. In the military, we have a motto. The motto is stay alert, stay alive. So I've always kept this in the back of my mind. Even though I wasn't the best soldier, I always had this in my mind. So I was sleeping light at the moment. So I'm laying down. Now, while you're in Iraq, there's two sounds that you'll hear that scares the life out of you. Number one, it's called a mortar. So a mortar sounds like this. Hit the deck, take cover. The second is called an RPG, rocket propelled grenade. With that, it's like shh. But only thing you see from that point is movement. There's no screaming. People just moving in slow-mo. Guess which one we heard? That's right. I was up, moving in slow-mo. I look out of the corner of my eyes, and I see Shuford half a step behind me. So this, remember, this is my first time being in this place. I'm looking at the door. It's about 3 or 4 feet ahead of me. It's rusted, giant, and it has this lock with the key in it. So I'm thinking of how I'm going to get out of here. Shuford's right next to me. I get to the door. I start to jiggle the door. I'm jiggling the door. Getting louder and louder and louder. I did something I never thought I'd do. I froze. Right there, paralyzed in fear. I just fell into a little ball. While I was there, my life started flashing before my eyes. Started thinking about how stupid I was for going to sleep. How much I had wasted my life. And that's when I felt this warm embrace. And Shuford had taken his flak vest and his body. Yeah, it covered me up. That's all I heard. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You see, God can use one man that is 100% dedicated to him, than 99 men that are 99% dedicated to him. That day, Shufa was that one man.
Shufa!
As death crept close to us, I was covered by the sacrificial lamb. And death, it passed right over us. Now, can I get an amen? Amen. As death passed over us, Shufan and I, we were in shock that we were still alive. Praise God. And I, now the door, it magically opens like clockwork, and we look out to see the point of impact. And it turns out it was just a low-flying jet. I got you guys, right? So that was a close call. And that was a good story. Me and Shufa, we talk about it all the time. Laugh. Like, man, that was crazy. But at the same time, I saw a man willing to give his life for another. And I was amazed. So that story, it wasn't enough to change me, but it did plant a seed. I saw later on in the gospel, what Shufa was willing to do is what Jesus Christ actually did. And now the gospel, it has such power. It's so real to me, because even though Shufa didn't die, praise God, and Shufa's a Christian, by the way, very, very powerful Christian as well. So even though he didn't have to actually give his life, Jesus Christ did. And I can see that now. So, God, he doesn't want our half-heartedness. I was a half-hearted soldier and I could have gotten people killed. God doesn't want our half-heartedness because he wasn't half-hearted when he went to the cross. So we can't be asleep. We have to be awake. We have to stay alert, stay alive. Jesus says in Matthew 12:30, if you could turn there with me. Matthew 12:30. And the Bible reads, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." See, it's God's desire that we go all in, because there is no middle ground with God. There is no middle ground in this war. It is either one side or the other. Which side do you want to be on? Amen. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles to Luke 14:26-33, counting the costs. Luke 14:26. When you're there, let me hear you say amen. Okay, it reads, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." What Jesus is saying is that not to be mean to your family, not to despise them or anything like that. He's saying that if you prefer your family over me, if you put your mother, your children, your wife, before me, you cannot be my disciple. You have to go all in. Verse 27. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus is saying that whoever doesn't put me before your ambitions, before your pride, before your livelihood, you cannot be my disciple. You have to go all in. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid down the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all, and behold, it began to mock him. I need the New King James Version. This King James just always gives me. Let me read this again. Lest happily, after he hath laid down the foundation and is not able to finish it, behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Let's stop right there. And I'm going to read the last verse, 33. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Jesus is saying it over and over again, that we have to go all in. You can't be a half-hearted soldier. We've got to put forth our whole effort. And that's what it's going to take. So at this point, you're probably wondering, like, what does all in mean? Right? Okay. What's that? All right. We got one already. Amen. Amen. So at this point, you're probably wondering how to do it practically. So look at this. As a soldier, I was given a mission, right? And in my mission, I was supposed to protect my brother to the left and to the right. You saw me. I failed in my mission. As Christian soldiers, we've also been given a mission. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells you what your mission is. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12:13. When you get there, let me hear you say amen. Can you guys read this one with me? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Amen. You all there? Okay. It reads, all together now, the whole duty of man is to fear God, and to keep his commandments. Amen. That's your job. That's how you go all in. That is your duty. So what are God's commandments? Turn to Matthew 22:37. See, as a soldier, you need clear orders. You need to know exactly what you need to do. And I'm wrapping this up. 22:37. Matthew 22:37. All right. It reads, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the prophets. I didn't come up here to share with you some new or different gospel. It's the same gospel, guys. This is how we go all in. It's repetitive in the Bible, so that you might get the picture, so that we might get the picture. Amen? But we can't do this without Jesus Christ. So our goal is to allow him wholly and completely into our hearts. Not partway, not in just this area of in the house, but wholly and completely. So we have to search ourselves inwardly. The test is, they say that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where do you spend your time? Where are your thoughts? That's how you find out. Am I all in? Is my time spent for salvation of souls, to uplifting the kingdom? Or is it doing what I want to do? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Now, It's around the new year, and around this time we start making New Year's resolutions, right? However, I don't like to use that term because 1 year just isn't going to do it. We need a whole complete transformation. So I like to invite you guys to make a new life transformation. Amen? A new life transformation is saying that I don't want to be a halftime soldier. I want to go all in for God. And guys, I'm making this call because Jesus hasn't come back yet. People don't see Christ in the church. Something has to change, and it starts with us, each individual person. We might feel like our efforts are good, but they're not good. It has to be Christ's efforts in us. Jesus has to be working through us. Just like the call, show Jesus today. This is the new life transformation. So I know all you guys are making your New Year's resolutions. So I'd like to invite anyone who would like to make a new life transformation to come up. And we want to pray that we can do this. We can change. We can go all in. You're not going to be the soldier that like I was, but you're going to be a soldier like Shufa was. I'm already up here. I'm making this new life transformation today. Don't feel pressured. If you're not going to do it, don't come up. If you're going to do it, if you're going to be all in, then come up. My man Camilo. Amen. All right, guys, this isn't just something that people come to do because this is my first time preaching and you guys want to support me. I really mean it. If you want to go all in, if you know that your life has to change, or if you know if there's just an area of growth, then that's what we're here for. We got to show the world Jesus. He has to be lifted up. Amen. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you see my friends here. You see me here, Lord. I don't ever want to be like the person that I was before, Lord. I want you to live completely and wholly in my life, Lord. I want you to transform me completely, Lord. Wherever you say to go, I will go. Whatever you say to do, I will do, Lord. I will step out. All the anger, all the frustration, all the doubt, all the unforgiveness, Lord. May you cleanse me from my sins, Lord. Lord, I pray for my friends that this may not be a spur-of-the-moment thing, that we may be completely transformed by your grace, Lord, that we will look to the sacrifice that you have done on the cross, the life that you gave freely for soldiers that were unworthy and unfit to wear the uniform. Lord, we pray that we may be fit through you, Lord. May this be a new life transformation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.